Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Elizabeth, you talked about a day when you were holding an American flag with 5,000 other people who were holding an American flag. What was going on?
Well, you know, I came to this country 25 years ago to live here. And time went by, and after a few years, you have the right to become an American citizen. And I think all of us that were not born here dream with this day in which we will be able to become an American citizen and have the rights that an American citizen has, including an American passport. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day that I became a citizen, and this was a large auditorium, and there were thousands of people there, and we were all being sworn into this citizenship. And there was a musician playing, and we had the Spangled Banner. And I mean, the whole thing was just so emotional for us, yeah. You know. And at one point, they said, "You are now citizens of the United States. You are now in the land of the free." And we all waved our flags. And it was one of those moments that kind of changed our life forever.
I would imagine. You know, the interesting thing about becoming a United States citizen is that when you do that, you're now called an American. If I were to immigrate to Japan, I'm never Japanese. Mm. No one would call me German because I immigrate to Germany. Mm. But you immigrate here, you become a citizen here, you are now an American, regardless of where it is you come from originally, regardless of what your race is, you are an American. And the same thing is true with Christianity.
Yes, that's
regardless of who you have been before, you are now a son, a daughter of God, you are now a Christian.
Yeah, it is very interesting because both Christianity and this country are based on this core freedom of core value of freedom. And, you know, I love my country, Argentina, too. And,
oh, of course.
But there was something about this country that obviously is very attractive to all of us that ended up here. Mm-hmm. And it's its core value of freedom, freedom of speech, freedom to pursue your dreams in a different way. It's just, you know, what America stands for the rest of the world is freedom. This is the core value of America. And, you know, we are going to start today a whole week, a whole series of five topics related to Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke and things that are unique to the Gospel of Luke about Jesus' ministry. And one of those things that is unique is the way that Jesus' public ministry starts in the Gospel of Luke.
In Luke's Gospel, the fourth chapter, we have a story here, a little passage we're going to read. But to set it up, he has just come through the temptations. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He's been tempted. He's come through that victorious. And now in verse 14, it says, "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district, and he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read."
Now, let's remind our readers that Jesus' parents were from Nazareth. Mm-hmm. And as Luke chapter 2 told us, because of a census, they went to Bethlehem. But Nazareth was the town of Joseph and Mary. And obviously, they went back there with Jesus as an infant. He was brought up in Nazareth. And so he goes to his church that Sabbath. He actually enters his own church. People know him there.
Mm-hmm. He's a hometown boy. And he comes in and he stands up to read. Verse 17, "And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.'" And again, this is his self-announcement of the core of his ministry. "This is why I'm here, to set at liberty those who are oppressed."
Yes, and these two verses that he read, as you saw when we talked about, verse 17, he was handed over the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he looked for this particular place that in our modern Bibles is chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, of the servant of the Lord. In this case, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to do something very specific. And don't forget that the Lucan themes are these, that God is reaching out to the poor, to the captives, to the blind, to the oppressed, to the destitute. And Jesus closes this with a very interesting statement on verse 20 and 21.
Verse 20 and 21 of Luke chapter 4, it says this, "And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
So Jesus claims that the prophet Isaiah, the prophecy in Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, is about him.
Right.
Now, what is interesting about this is how Luke quotes this particular verses from Isaiah. The verse 19 says, "To proclaim the favorable year mm-hmm. of the Lord." Mm-hmm. Now, the favorable year of the Lord is a particular language for the people of Israel, and is the language of Jubilee. Jubilee was a year every 50 years where all the oppressed would be set free, all the poor had their debts canceled, and all the people that has in some ways become oppressed or subject to somebody because of their debts, that year everybody was set free. Then that's why verse 19 says, "The favorable year of the Lord."
That is the year of Jubilee. All debts are erased. Everything is a fresh start. And we find some of this Jubilee language from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. And this is a verse that you find written on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia here in the United States. Verse 10, it says, "You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee to you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family." So, slaves were set free, property was returned to its original family, the owners, and debts were forgiven.
Yes. See, this language of Jubilee, by the way, for many, many years, I had heard that Leviticus 25:10 was actually engraved in the Liberty Bell. And it wasn't until about 3 years ago that I was able to go to Philadelphia. And the first thing I did was to go check out the Liberty Bell. And the reason why it's called Liberty Bell is because of this verse. Proclaim liberty is the other version that is in the bell, through the land to all its inhabitants. So this was at the core of the beginning of our country, and that freedom and release was for everyone. And here we have this language of Jubilee that is picked up by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. Let's read Isaiah.
Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And again, this is what Jesus is quoting, and this is this language of liberty. I find it interesting that we've chosen to draw a parallel between the liberty of the United States that this country is founded upon, as well as the liberty that Jesus proclaimed. I have an associate pastor at the church where I pastor who is originally from Moldova, who was drafted into the Russian army during the years of communism, and talked about the torture that he experienced because of his religious convictions. Mm-hmm. And now he's living in this country and has recently become a United States citizen, and he celebrates that freedom. He mm-hmm. loves the fact that no one's going to torture him over these religious convictions of his. And just as he was set free by coming to this country, so too before that he was set free by finding his faith in Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's very interesting. You know, here in Luke chapter 4, Jesus in fact is saying to the people, "I am your Jubilee." Mm-hmm. I have made a little rhyme that I always remember myself. It is true, you are free. I am your Jubilee. Yeah. And this is one of the ways that I remember that I have been set free in Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, this story doesn't end very well, even though everybody's talking well of him after mm-hmm. he says all these things, verse 22. But when he starts talking about how inclusive the grace of God will be, and he starts talking about this widow in the land of Sidon and this leper in the land of Syria, then they get very angry with him because it couldn't be that God was that large, that great.
It says, and he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown, but I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Now he's mentioned two areas that were greatly hated by the Jews.
That's right. And at that moment, not at the moment that he says that the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled in him, they're still speaking well of him at that moment. But when he stretches the limits and the boundaries that this freedom was for a lot of people that were not just Israel, that's when they become enraged and they try to kill him.
They were upset because Jezebel, who had led them into idolatry years before, came from the area of
Tyre and Sidon.
Correct. And of course, the Syrians were greatly hated by the Jews. And
correct.
To suggest that this gospel of liberty was for all of them as well was just more than what they could take.
Today, if you are one like me that has actually had an experience in which you come to a place of freedom and you were not free before, perhaps now you have a symbolic visualization of what it is when you become free in Christ. There's nothing that ties you down anymore. You have been set free. Jesus is your jubilee.
He has released you from bondage to sin. He has released you from the payment of that bondage to sin. You don't have to pay the penalty because Jesus Christ has paid it for you. Your debts are canceled and you have been set free.
At the cross, the Christian liberty bell sounded very, very loud, and he proclaimed freedom for all the inhabitants of the land until that day that we are in the new kingdom and our citizenship is in heaven. We wish for you that type of freedom.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.